We are recording.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Whitney Sweeney, President of the State Board of Education. I call the December 16th regular meeting to order. It is 5:00 PM. This meeting is open to the public in person in the Townsend Building in Dover, Delaware, as well as being electronically via WebEx. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and the meeting link on December 9th, 2021 at the State Public Meeting Calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, if you're logged in via WebEx, please mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking until the time for public comment. Today's agenda contains three opportunities for public comment. The first opportunity is for comment related to the December reapportionment of school board nominating districts, which is toward the beginning of the meeting. The second is reserved for comments relating to regulations, and the third is reserved for general public comment near the end of the meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. For those attending in person, sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. This will help us to begin to create a list of individuals who would like to speak. If you are only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We ask that members of the public use the chat box only to sign up for public comment or to make us aware of any technical difficulties. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Please remember to announce your name as you reply to others or participate in ongoing conversation. During the presentations, presenters will regularly pause and ask if any state board members have questions. Please don't speak until this time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they are reviewing. When taking a vote on an item, I'll ask if there's a motion and a second. We'll then conduct a roll call vote. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of the meeting. So now, Ms. Smith, if you would like to call the roll of state board meetings, please.
Good evening, Mr. Brittingham.
Here.
Ms. Barris.
Here.
Ms. Spiker. Mr. Lofink.
Here.
Dr. Noble.
Here.
Reverend Powell.
Present.
Mr. Rushdam.
Present.
Ms. Sweeney.
Present.
Ms. Turner.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. I note that we also have the following individuals participating in today's meeting: Secretary Susan Bunting, Deputy Attorney General Carla Jaros, and State Board of Education Staff Jen Honor and Kathleen Smith. First on the agenda is approving our agenda. The board's agenda was posted on December 9th and amended on December 10th. Are there any changes to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the amended agenda for today's meeting as presented?
Lofink, so moved.
Is there a second?
Wally Rushdan, second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Next is the approval of the minutes. The November 18th regular meeting minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions? Is there a motion to approve the November 18th meeting minutes as presented?
This is Wally Rushdan, so moved.
Is there a second?
No, big second.
All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I think everyone was actually present at that meeting, so we should not have any. Motion carries. So before we move into presentations, and I am very sorry that I'm not physically there tonight, but I wanted to recognize that this is Secretary Bunting's last meeting with the State Board of Education. So I personally have very much enjoyed working with the secretary. I mean, I think I've been on this board now for 3.5 years, and it's just really been a pleasure, as well as just a great learning experience from me in terms of working with the secretary, who has so much experience in the state and such a passion for education and for students and for teachers. So I personally wanted to thank her on my behalf and just tell her how much I've appreciated the experience. On behalf of the State Board of Education, all of Delaware students, we wanted to thank you for, as I said, decades of contributions that you've made to Delaware education. Again, it's really been just a pleasure. So with that, and I think that, I don't know if Mr. Brittingham has it or Ms. Honor, but we wanted to present you with the State Board of Education Order of Excellence, as well as the State Board bookmark, because as I know, you of course will be reading. So I'm gonna open it up. Oh, there we go, thank you.
Stand here.
Okay.
This is to certify that Dr. Sue Bunning has this date been bestowed the excellent order of excellence. This honor is presented by and through the State Board of Education for your outstanding contributions toward the growth and betterment of the students served throughout the Delaware public education. Presented the 16th of December, 2021 and signed by Whitney Sweeney. Take the picture, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary Bunting, for everything that you have done. For everyone in this state.
Thank you.
Now, before I open up to you, I'm going to actually open it up to the board just for additional comments, because I know over the years you've touched a lot of people.
Madam President, if I might, Madam Secretary, I know your career didn't begin 3.5 years ago with being the Vice Dean of the State Board of Education. You've certainly dedicated your whole life to the education of our children in the state of Delaware. I want to thank you for your leadership. Your energy level and commitment to our children is unsurpassed in anything that I have ever seen. I'm still marvel at your monthly reports. I don't know where you get the time and energy to do it all. And I thank you for trying to decipher some of my weird questions that Audrey, Dr. Noble has to figure out.
Thank you for helping.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a statement. Actually, I've had the pleasure of knowing Susan for about 25 years. She kind of blows my mind. I had just come to Delaware in July of 1990.
Dr. Noble, could you move your microphone closer?
I don't think I have one.
Use your teacher voice, Dr. Noble.
Doesn't look like it will go.
Okay, I'll go over there.
You want to go over here?
Maybe I can take my mask off if you don't mind.
Oh, it's much better. Whatever you did, it just got a lot better.
I moved my body. Okay, as I was saying, I had the pleasure of meeting Susan Bunting over 25 years ago. I had just come to Delaware in July in 1994 after graduate school, and my supervisor at UD gave me my first research assignment. And he told me he wanted me to go out and learn all I could about Delaware public school education. He wanted me to interview like 25 to 35 people and to plan to give a presentation at a large symposium that was going to be held with Delaware policymakers and school leaders in 1 month. Wow. After I arrived. I think that he referred me to my first interviewee and then he said, go for it. And interesting, I think that was my Delaware education baptism by fire. And so my first interview was with Pat Forge Young, who was the superintendent of public instruction, that was the secretary of ed at that time. And I asked him to refer me to somebody who would help me begin to understand teaching and learning and what it really looked like in our schools. And that's the first time I heard Susan Bunting's name. I believe you were the director of K-12 education at Indian River at that time. And you graciously granted me an interview, and I drove my car all the way down there and got lost numerous times on the way to the Indian School District building. But I did find it. And to be honest, I don't remember too many of the specifics about what we talked about that day. But what I clearly remember was how proud you were of your district, of your teachers, of your schools, of your community, of your students. And so I continued to know Susan in a variety of different capacities over time as she moved from one leadership position to another. And you're being recognized by many people across the state for your expertise, the passion you have for education, and just the love you have for our state. Even now, I see that it's Susan's pride, not in herself, but in those whom she supports, that really have made you a strong leader over these years. It's evident in all you do. Just as Vince was just referring, we read that monthly report and it's filled with examples of how proud you are of Delaware's educators, how proud you are of your team members at the department, and how proud you are of all that our state schools have accomplished. And, you know, I think we all know that pride can be a leadership quality that can take us down a very dangerous and sometimes unseemly path. But I think the lesson that Susan has shared is that it's important how you direct that pride. And I want to thank you for that lesson. I guess once a teacher, always a teacher. And I want to thank you for all that you've done for the children and the teachers and of our state over so many years of your life. And I, for one, will personally miss you. Thank you so much.
I have a little present for you. It's not really a Christmas present, but it's the only paper I had.
Thank you, Mr. Muted. I apologize. You'd think this far in that I wouldn't mute myself. I can't tell who's in the room. Honestly, from the screen, it's very hard to see. But I just wanted to make sure if there was anyone else that wanted to make a comment, either in the room from a board perspective or on the line, that we had time to do so.
I'll take a minute. Dr. Bunning, thank you for everything you've done. I cannot touch Dr. Noble's comments, but I agree with every one of them. I agree with Vince, but what you've done for the students, staff, everybody you've touched in the state of Delaware is a better person because of you. And thank you for everything you've done.
If I could just add quickly, thank you for your personal kindness to me. Thank you for being a role model. And thank you for all your service. And I will miss you, and I hope I see you again.
I will disappear.
Dr. Bunning, this is Reverend Powell. I want to also echo the sentiments and congratulate you on a job well done. As you transition to whatever is next, because I know there are going to be a lot of individuals reaching out to you for some type of consultation. I was on a meeting with you earlier today with the Vision Coalition, and there was so many salutations and affirmations and words of encouragement and recognize you as the ultimate servant leader of the state of Delaware as it relates to education. And so I echo those sentiments. I, before I got on the board, I was not familiar with a lot of educational policy and the wherewithal with the Department of Education. And so you helped me to transition into this space, and for you to be on the board and for me to be able to lean into your expertise. Vince talked about, I'm amazed every month when you give your report and how much territory you covered, not only literally across the state, but how much you do in terms of the issues and have done. And you do it with such grace and dignity, and you've always been at all the tables I've seen, you carry yourself and represent the state of Delaware in the best interest of the student. I wanna thank you personally for coming up to Wilmington upon my request and coming to the learning pods and visiting and gracing us with your support and affirmation. And then lastly, I will just remind it, as we were talking about the time in which you served was a very turbulent time and a challenging time to lead us through the pandemic and even epidemics. And I'm reminded of a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, who says that the ultimate measure of a man or woman in this case is not where he or she stands at the moment of comfort or convenience, but where he or she stands at the time of challenge and controversy. And I can say that you have stood up and you have measured well. Job well done. Thank you.
Dr. Bunting, this is Wally Rushton. I regret that I couldn't be there in person to look you in your eyes and say this to you directly, but I couldn't agree more with what has been already so eloquently stated by many of my colleagues who I'm, you know, get the pleasure of serving with here. What I just want to emphasize is that I thank you for your grace. which is a word that Reverend Powell just used, I think, very appropriately throughout on the personal touches when I came onto the board, similarly as someone who was approaching education from a different perspective as a not an education professional. You extended yourself to me to allow me to make that transition into this space and feel comfortable having that seat at the table, and always being, again, gracious with your energy, with your time, with your attention to things, you know, personal touches, notwithstanding all the gravity of the issues that you have to deal with, you just have that wonderful touch. And I will always remember that and appreciate that and applaud you for the manner in which you led through this very challenging time. Again, as Reverend Powell just alluded to, it really is a testament to you and the legacy that you've left, a rich legacy that, again, many of us have enjoyed over the last few years, but we all acknowledge and recognize spans much longer time than that. So thank you. Job well done. And you are well deserved to enjoy whatever the next chapter is for you, both personally and professionally. So thank you very much for everything you've done for myself, for our colleagues, and for the state of Delaware, families, children, and educators. Thank you.
I will just say a word or two. I thank you for all your kind words. It's very difficult for me, but I'm very, very grateful. And I have to give the credit to the people that I've been blessed to work with. Together, we've been able to make changes, and we've been able to move through some challenging times. But I've had a wonderful team to work with all through the years, and whether it was at Indian River or whether it's been here. And I am very grateful. I have been truly blessed to deal with excellent educators and people who care about education, as I'm looking around the room and seeing right now. And Helen Keller often would say, alone I can achieve so much, together we can do, alone I can achieve so little, together I can achieve, or we can achieve so much. And so I really have, that collective belief that we can team together to make a big difference in students' lives, and it will continue to drive me, and I will not disappear, Wendy, as I said. But I'm really touched by your words this evening, and I will continue to give, but I want you to know it's been my honor to work with all of you and to do what we've been able to do as a team. So thank you for your words and for your support all these years.
Thank you. And I am very sorry that I'm not there tonight, but I know I will see you. But thank you again. We're going to go ahead and move into presentations now. So the first on our list is the decennial reapportionment of school board nominating districts. As background, Delaware code requires the state election commissioner to reapportion the school board nominating districts for Brandywine, Christina, Colonial, and Red Clay every 10 years with the approval of the State Board of Elections and the State Board of Education. This is an adjustment of the nominating district lines to reflect the population changes documented per the 2020 U.S. Census. Delaware code requires the state board to consider the following in making its decision regarding the reapportionment. That each representative district shall, insofar as possible, one, be informed of be formed by contiguous territory, two, be nearly equal in population, three, be bounded by major roads, streams, or other natural boundaries, and four, not be created so as to unduly favor any person. The database for the determination of population and residence shall be census data. Now, before we begin, I just wanted to give a brief overview of the proposed process for this conversation. So first, we'll introduce representatives from the Election Commissioner's Office. We're going to invite speakers to provide a brief background on the reapportionment, including the process to date, the summary of public comments made, and then a high-level overview of the proposed maps and changes with the main points for the board's consideration. We'll then move into public comment prior to the board asking questions or holding any discussion regarding the reapportionment. By statute, we are required to allow public comment prior to our vote. The board will then discuss the reapportionment, ask questions of our speakers, and vote on the path forward. This also was on our agenda last month. And then this is going to be sort of that follow-up from that point in time. So we are pleased to welcome State Election Commissioner Anthony Albence and his colleague Christopher Ramos. So if I want to go ahead
we can pass to them before we go into public comment.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you, board members, for your time this evening again this month regarding the proposed updates to the nominating districts. As you may recall, last month's meeting, and the chair also provided a very comprehensive recap there as well, in reference to the process that happens every 10 years following the census. As you may recall, last month we did present draft maps that were an initial draft that were presented to the board and then to the public as well for comment. We did receive some public comments, which I understand are going to be provided to the board. At the request of the board staff, we did collect them, the comments at our website, actually through one of our general email addresses, and they have been consolidated and, as I mentioned, provided to you. In light of those comments, we did make some modifications to the maps, which have been posted on our website and which are the revised maps that are being presented for consideration tonight. We were able to take into account the comments that were made, and, as I mentioned, make some adjustments. The maps as adjusted do comport with all of the standards that are provided for in Delaware Code, and also maintain a very close population balance to the ideal populations for each nominating district within the respective school districts. So we were happy to be able to do that and to incorporate the feedback that was received, and we think address items that were raised in that, in those comments. So the maps and the revised version of the maps, as was mentioned, also per code are approved by the State Board of Elections. The State Board of Elections held its December meeting this past Monday, the 13th, and this was an agenda item for our board members, was also presented to them in advance of the meeting for their review. At the board meeting on the 13th, the State Board of Elections did have a discussion on the topic. I also presented to them much of the information I presented to this board last month. And following a discussion, a brief discussion at that meeting, the State Board of Elections did approve the revised maps, the ones that are before you tonight for your consideration. So that's just a brief recap of where, what has transpired since last month. And I, again, thank you for your time tonight, and certainly, you know, welcome any questions, and welcome your consideration of the revised maps as presented.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that recap, as well as managing the public comments. So thank you for that. Next on the agenda is moving to public comment, and after that, we will then open it up for the board. Ms. Honor, Ms. Smith, do we have anybody that has signed up in the room for public comment?
No, we do not.
Okay. Do we have anybody that has signed up online? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No, we don't.
We don't. Okay. I'm just going to make this one note. If you are on and you'd like to make public comment, if you're logged in via the URL, if you could type in your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box. If you're only participating by phone, you wish to make verbal public comment, if you could log in via the meeting URL. So I'm just going to give it, I think, although it doesn't look like there are many people in the room. So I am going to go ahead and Jenna, no one's signed, or Ms. Honor, Ms. Smith, no one's signing in, right?
No, we don't have
anybody. Okay, perfect. All right. Just wanted to make sure before we move in. At this point in time, I'm going to open the floor to board members for questions. Again, we did have this in front of us last time. There was the public comment period and some changes that had been made, which actually specifically addressed some of our questions before. So with that, that's open to the board.
Thank you, Madam President. Vince Lofang. Thank you, Mr. Albence. I know this was can be a grinding job to do this, to carry out the reapportionment process. But just very quickly, I see in section V3 of the code, it says that you can make recommendations as it deems necessary to ensure fair and efficient school board elections. Is that, looking at that wording, is that the process that you engage in as you did this, or are they talking about the process as we move forward into the future? In other words, How much intervention did you have to do in this, working with the local boards? Or is this just something that you would, recommendations that you make as we go along into the future? As I know this was your first, probably your first reapportionment as the leader. So do you understand that question? Sometimes I'm not extremely articulate. But.
No, I think I do, Mr. Lafayette. And I recall the last time we did this reapportionment, I was actually in my prior role with elections as head of the Newcastle office. And that was actually before we were consolidated as a state department of elections. And at that time, it was the Newcastle office that handled this process with my former colleague, Howard Scholl, who's since retired.
Right.
And we basically we followed the same procedure in terms of providing a draft based on the population data that we looked at. That's basically how the process goes forward. We look at the existing maps, which in that case were the maps approved after the 2000 census, and then made some modifications, and then again brought them to the board for comment as well as our state board of elections. So that's basically, and had them available at that time also on our website for comment. And similar to the last time we did this, the modifications were very minor on the districts. You know, just note that the nominating districts were, I would say, it was very modest, you know, very modest changes compared to like what may be done like with the General Assembly, you know, because of the population shifts were such that they were not dramatic, and that the nominating districts themselves did not need to be modified very significantly because of the areas that we were dealing with. The growth was fairly evenly distributed or fairly modest overall.
Thank you very much. And I think one of the things that initially confused me is probably just not reading properly. I was thinking about election districts and what you go through with legislative poll as opposed to what you actually do is. So thank you very much. That was very helpful.
I have a question about the process. This is Audrey Noble. I noticed that in Title 29, Chapter 8, Section 804, it actually says that the process should not be created so as to unduly favor any person or political party, is actually the reading of that section. I'm just wondering if you could talk to us about how you ensure that that occurs, that it doesn't unduly favor any person or political party in your process.
Basically, the way we do that, and it's more or less the same principle with other reapportionments that are carried out, is that essentially your primary motivation is looking at the population totals and looking at the boundaries and looking at it pretty much, you know, objectively, so that you're maintaining those population balances, even though the code for this particular process doesn't have any standard. It's pretty generic and pretty, I should say, non-specific in the language, that the districts just need to be generally of equal population. But also other standards we look at is, again, you know, looking at natural boundaries, looking at anything that would follow the course as much as possible of neighborhoods or communities, and not trying to avoid splitting anything that would be, you know, not ideal in terms of that area. It's interesting, you know, it's in this situation in particular, because the way that the school board elections are held, where, you know, they're at large, of course, everyone voting, but they're not, the filings are by local districts, by nominating districts. You know, you're balancing a number of different things, but we still use the same principles. Basically, natural boundaries are a key, and then certainly that population total, keeping them as close as possible. I'll just make another quick comment on that. As I mentioned, it's non-specific, or I should say, again, it's not, it doesn't delineate in the code a certain standard, like you must not deviate more than X percent. But in all of the districts as they were drawn, we were happy to keep them all very close. In some of the school districts, in fact, the deviations within nominating districts are less than 1% from the mean, if you will, from the ideal number, which we were happy to maintain. And even at the higher end, there may be 2 or 3% between nominating districts, which are quite low, actually. You know, a lot of times, you know, General Assembly, as I recall, the standard they adopted was 5% deviation between districts. So this is, even lower than that, if you will, kind of the working totals that we use.
So you really don't look at issues like political party membership of communities within?
No, ma'am. No, Dr. Noble, these are strictly population. And okay. And given Delaware's, I shouldn't say unique, because I don't know if that's unique in the country necessarily, but given Delaware's arrangement with school elections that don't require voter registration to vote in school elections, we're looking strictly at population numbers because, of course, by Delaware law, any resident of that district, at least 18 years of age can vote in the election,
right,
regardless of their voter registration total or voter registration status.
Right. Okay. Can I just ask another question in something you alluded to at the beginning? I'm not sure I was clear about. I reviewed the public comments that came through, and there were concerns that three out of the four district school boards, that the reapportionment was going to affect at least one board member in each district. Were you saying at the beginning that you responded to those comments in any way, or did I misunderstand that?
No, we did take into account all the comments, but also basically that gave us an opportunity really to go back and look at how close we were to holding, for example, to natural boundaries, and also looking at were there ways in addition to that that we could further hone the population totals as well. Again, those are really our primary driving principles, and we were able to improve that a little bit more in looking back on the process.
So were there another, I guess I looked at the maps after our last meeting. So have other maps been revised and proposed since then in response to these comments, or no?
No, there was just one set of revisions.
Okay. All right.
Are there further questions?
This is Reverend Powell. Thank you so much for coming back again this evening. I guess my question goes a little bit deeper than Dr. Noble in terms of the last month when you came before us and you were very emphatic that there would be no negative adverse impact on any sitting board members, and to find out that that was not the case was a little problematic to me, because we are depending upon accurate data to inform data so that we can make decisions. And so I'd like to hear a little bit more what was the oversight, or why did we land at that place where the information was not correct? And now that we are correcting the information, are we, and I think I heard your explanation before I asked the question, I hear that you are addressing those adverse members of the board, but is that to not so much to compromise the process, but to actually accommodate the sitting board members? So that's my kind of concern as we decide and cast our vote for mm-hmm. this process.
No, I appreciate your question. And what that was, and I do apologize, that was an error last month, when I mentioned that was a mistake on our end, and we certainly will certainly admit that and certainly own that. But certainly the updates made are not in any way to favor any particular members, but or any particular sitting members, but really ought to improve the integrity of the plan overall. Granted, that was a concern that was raised, but that is something that I understand is the concern of perhaps those particular individuals, but it's still not what drives our process in terms of the quality of the plan. But I certainly do apologize again for that error. That was an oversight, that was a mistake on our part, and we do apologize for that. We don't like to make any mistakes, but we certainly do own that.
Thank you.
Are there further questions or comments from board members before we vote?
I have one additional question for Mr. Albans. This is Wally Rushdan. It's a follow-up to Reverend Powell's question, just one layer deeper, if you will. I think I heard you say that the decisions involved in this process do not involve looking at how specific individual sitting board members will be impacted. Did I hear that correctly?
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm.
But by virtue of the comments that came about, you took that into consideration when you came back to look at sort of the revisions that you made to the maps.
We did revise them, right, but not, we did not, that was not the driving force of basically the comments that a sitting board member mentioned. We looked at the maps and actually looked at some of the boundaries that could have been improved as well, and really were more contiguous with natural boundaries and natural avoiding any divisions of certain communities or any neighborhoods, things of that nature, things that do happen at times when undertaking reapportionments that are inadvertently and that are really things that are errors that can be made, not intentionally certainly, but that can affect the integrity of the plan and can be improved. And, you know, many times, you know, we were just working with, working with the other jurisdictions that we work with. In fact, it's not uncommon to have certainly these revisions. And actually this process is actually a more straightforward process in that regard, I think, you know, with fewer revisions, but it is certainly not uncommon to have revisions and look at the quality of the plan, because that's the ultimate driver of the process.
Absolutely understood. And that sort of leads to my sort of specific question, which is, were the folks that were impacted, have they looked at the revised plans? Have they had an opportunity to see them and express any further comment on them?
I believe they have. I would assume they have, because we received no additional public comments other than what you were provided with.
Understood. And then my second question to that is, and I presume that because there were no other comments, that there were no other board members that were further affected by the further adjustments that were made.
That's my understanding. I don't believe so. Yes, I do not believe so. Like I said, because we, as you mentioned, we have received no further comments. Even certainly the formal comment period closed, but no comments were received, you know, after that formal comment period either, you know, certainly by us, I know, on our end.
And actually, I'd
understood.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna jump in on that as well. And Ms. Honor can correct me if I don't get this 100% accurate. Is that John Marinucci from DSBA was engaged as well. So in terms of making sure that local boards knew this was out there, that did in fact happen when this went out for, sorry, I'm starting to lose my voice. excuse me, that it was they were aware that it was out for public comments or the opportunity to review was there. Jenna is Irma's honor, is that fair?
Yes, that's correct. DSBA did send this out to all sitting board members in the district when the formal public comment process was open. And then he did follow up once the revised maps were posted online to share them again as well, and ask them to review and let them know that there was a public comment process on Earth. They wanted to provide further comments.
Great, thank you. Excuse me. Are there any further comments?
Just one last point to that, sort of close out my questions here. So with all that being established, even if there were some additional impacts on a sitting board member's seat, that again is not something that drives the initial decisions, nor does it drive the actual decisions once you get that feedback to change. The reason that you made modifications is you saw that and you said, well, is there an opportunity here to make the plan better and also potentially cure that concern? But that concern did not drive your revisions.
That's
fair?
That's correct. Yeah, it's always to make the plan better because you're going to have a plan that's in place, you know, for 10 years. So it's something that, you know, you want to have a quality plan that's going to be one that, you know, that stands the test of time, basically. There's going to be multiple cycles that it's used, certainly, before it's revisited.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate you you answering those questions.
Sure. Mr. Rushton, I think those were very well articulated questions. So I appreciate your thoroughness and making sure that that was very clear as to why those changes were made. And thank you, Mr. Albence, as well. Are there further questions or comments before we take a vote? Okay, I'm going to think that we have no, excuse me, no voices. Is there a motion on the table? I'm going to say, is there a motion to approve as currently presented the reapportionment of school board nominating districts?
Lofink, so moved.
Is there a second?
This is Wally Rushton. I second the motion.
Ms. Smith, if you could call the roll.
Mr. Brittingham.
Yes.
Mr. Lofink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Reverend Towel.
Yes.
Mr. Rushton.
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney.
Yes. The motion carries. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time tonight.